Today, we've just got a one-off. We'll be looking at the concept of superheroes. Hopefully, you're all feeling energetic this morning because we will be looking at this topic. How would you define the word superhero? Any thoughts? Anyone want to define what a superhero is? Someone who saves lives? Well, lots of people save lives. You know, doctors save lives, nurses, ambulance drivers, and so on. Someone who's strong? Well, I'm sure there's lots of strong people here in this congregation too. They might not necessarily be superheroes, right? I know Jeremy does weights, right? I don't know if you'd say that Jeremy is a superhero. Does good things for other people? Well, hopefully, Steve, you do good things for other people too, but I don't know if we classify you as being a superhero. Has special powers. Or a lot of money. I don't know about that, but they definitely have special powers. Special powers to do what? To do good and to... They save people, don't they? They have special powers that they use to be able to save people. So I think one definition of a superhero could be that it's someone who can rescue those who need help when no one else can. And that's where the special powers come in, because normally it's in a situation where no one can do anything except for someone with special ability who arrives on the scene. Remember, superheroes, what can they do? They can do things like jumping over tall buildings with a single bound. They fly through the air or they stick to walls. All sorts of amazing things. And they use those extraordinary abilities to rescue people who need help. Now, I imagine that all of us have our own favourite superhero. So, this morning, just get a bit of a poll here, a bit of a feel. Who's your favourite superhero? Who here is a fan of Batman? Hands up if you are. A few Batman fans here. What about Robin? Anyone here a fan of Robin? Poor Robin. Hands up if you're a fan of Wonder Woman. No one? That's a bit sad. What about, who's this guy? Spider-Man. Who's a fan of Spider-Man? I thought he would have been more popular than that. And of course, we can't forget, who's that? Superman. Who's a fan of Superman? It looks like Superman wins the poll. Anyone that we haven't mentioned that is your favourite superhero? Iron Man. Iron Man's pretty popular these days, yeah? The Hulk. Yeah, I can see why you'd like the Hulk, Steve. Anyway, the other day I was on the internet and I came across some stats on the best-selling superhero comic books in the US. Now, who do you think was at the top? So this is comics that are sold in the US. Who would be at the top of the list, you reckon? X-Men. They were on the list, and I think they're pretty popular. Anyone else want to have a guess? Batman, Spider-Man. What about Wonder Woman? Nah, probably not. Anyway, this is the list. The top five superheroes according to the distributor data. This is from 2012. Number five is... The Green Lantern. Number four, Spider-Man. Number three, Batman. And in number two, we've got the Avengers. And as Elaine said, for number one, the X-Men. That's interesting. Now, I would probably say that Spider-Man is the most popular individual superhero, right? Over the last decade or so, it's probably been Spider-Man. But since 2010, Batman has actually been more popular than Spider-Man in terms of comics that have been sold. Now, it's interesting to consider who the most popular superhero might be, but really, anyone who knows the difference between fiction and non-fiction knows that Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, Superman, they're all fictional or non-fictional? Fictional. They're not real. So that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Next time you find yourself in trouble, try calling out to Spider-Man and see what happens. Well, I probably think that most people standing around you would think you're a little bit crazy, maybe. Obviously, Spider-Man isn't a real person. He's just a comic strip and movie character. And unfortunately, that fact applies to all of the superheroes on the list. They're all fictional, which creates a problem for us, doesn't it? Because the world we live in isn't fiction. Our world is actually non-fiction. Our world isn't imaginary, it's real. Now, there's nothing wrong with our world being real. I think it's probably a better thing that it's real than not real, and we're all living in some kind of weird dream. But the problem with living in a real world is that when that world has problems, that means it impacts upon us, doesn't it, and other people. That means the pain, the disappointment, the reality of disease and death, all of those things are real, and they really impact upon us. Now, I think I don't really need to tell you that there are many problems out there in the world. I'm sure you'll all agree with me that sometimes it seems as if the world is out of control and full of chaos. And no doubt each one of us, to some extent in our own lives, have had to deal with the chaos of this world in some way. Often, it's too often that we have to deal with the chaos that the world can throw at us. And in the last few years, when we just look back upon human history, what do we see? We see tsunamis, we see terrorism, we see diseases such as bird flu, hurricanes and floods. All of these things impact upon us and upon the world at large. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when disasters and bad things like that happen, it makes me wonder where things will end up. How many more tragedies will the human race have to endure before it gets better? Sometimes when we look at the world and when the chaos of the world impacts upon us, we can start to despair. And often it's common in the midst of despair for people to basically give up or to go into depression. Now, sometimes we like to think that we're in control of our own destinies, that she'll be right, mate. But when we honestly look at ourselves and what can happen to us, what can happen to the people that we care about, then what can we really do? In the end, we can do some limited things to protect ourselves. We can be careful driving down the road, but that's not to say someone who isn't careful will smash into us. In the end, we can do some limited things like that to look after ourselves, but we can't really do all that much to help ourselves. Who of us here can guarantee our own survival? Can you guarantee to me that at the end of today you'll still be alive? Who of us here can guarantee that? None of us can. In the light of that fact, we can sometimes feel powerless and think that everything's futile. As some people, when they realise how scary life can be, think that there's nothing better to do than to eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there are no guarantees about me being alive tomorrow, then why not live it up in the here and now, in the time that I've got left, however long it may be? Why not see what I can get out of life, what I can enjoy before I die? And so we get people thinking, if taking drugs makes me happy, then why not? If sleeping around makes me happy, then why not? If getting a good job and making money makes me happy, then why not? Whatever it takes for me to be happy, that's what I'm going to do, because I don't know how long I'm going to live life on this earth. Now, friends, many people, sadly, think that way. But the problem is that living it up and living your own life, living things your own way, That's simply what we haven't been made for. Now, it's true, we all want happiness, we all want security. But it's not just a matter of going out there and doing whatever we think is best. And in saying that to you, it's not just my opinion about how I think the world is. It's actually something that Jesus, who is the Creator God in human form, when he came into the world, that's something that he taught us. Doing what we think best actually only serves to make things worse. The truth of the matter is that we've all been created by God. We live in this world because he created us. And in this world, God has set certain laws that determine how this world operates. God has actually set things up such that happiness and blessing come to those who live his way. What the Bible calls blessing only comes to those who follow God's way of life. Some examples for you. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit says, "Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who seek him with their whole heart, who walk in his ways." The Bible also records God saying to us in Proverbs 3, "My children, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and medicine to your bones." And friends, that kind of attitude is captured memorably in the famous parable of the man who built his house on the rock and the stupid man who built his house on the sand. What we need to do is to build our lives on the rock of God's word rather than on the shifting sands of human opinion. Now Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock." What is Jesus saying there about the key to building a successful life? According to Jesus, the key to building a successful life is founded upon his word, his teaching. Jesus tells us, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man." Jesus' words, Jesus' teaching, that's the rock which gives stability and security to our lives. If you're seeking to follow the shifting sands of human opinion, you're going to come crashing down. If we couldn't be bothered about listening to Jesus' teaching, and if we're not putting it into practice, if we're leaning on our own understanding and not acknowledging him as the supreme teacher who's come from God, and Jesus tells us quite plainly here that everyone who hears these words of mine but doesn't do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and beat against that house. And what happened? It fell. And great was its fall, Jesus tells us. Friends, this isn't just my opinion. It's the way things are. Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, who was sent into the world to speak the word of God to humanity, he's the one who teaches us this. Remember who Jesus is. We Christians say that he is the Son of God. He is God in human form, come into the world to teach us the truth about this universe. Jesus is the guy who even the non-believers out there acknowledge is the most famous teacher who's ever lived. We're not going to listen to his words. If you ignore Jesus' teaching here and find your life falling down around you in the future, then you really shouldn't be surprised. Jesus has already told you what the key to a successful life is. It's hearing and doing His word. It's being committed to Jesus and His teaching. If you haven't been doing that, then you're not going to be successful. But maybe you're thinking, following Jesus' teaching, is that the solution to all of the world's problems? Can that solve the problem of chaos that we see around us in this world? Well, here we need to understand how things work. We need to understand that Jesus was sent by God into this world to take on the powers of chaos and evil. He came into this world to destroy the power of chaos. And how did He do that? Well, He actually did it by submitting Himself to the power of chaos and evil, by dying the worst kind of death possible by the methods of capital punishment available at the time. Back 2,000 years ago, when the Roman Empire was ruling over Europe and North Africa and parts of the Middle East, there were three kinds of capital punishment on their list of supreme penalties. There was death by beheading, death by being burnt alive, and death by crucifixion, which meant being nailed up on a cross and being left to suffocate to death. Now, out of those three things, having your head chopped off, being burnt alive, and being crucified, crucifixion was considered to be at the top of that list of supreme penalties. It was the worst way to go out. Now, I reckon being burnt alive doesn't sound nice, does it? It'd probably be a horrible way to go. But back then, crucifixion was considered to be even worse than being burnt alive. Mainly, I think, because crucifixion is a humiliating and slow death. You're up there for everyone to see. It's degrading. And most people took a day and a half to die. Death came slowly to those who were crucified normally. As the victim became weaker and weaker, and finally, he would suffocate to death under the weight of his own body. Jesus submitted himself to the worst form of capital punishment available at the time, so that his death would be public. And having submitted himself to death, which is the ultimate form of chaos, now remember, death is the instrument that is used by Satan for the destruction of humanity. After he submitted himself to death, what happened next? Jesus also publicly came back to life again to defeat the forces of evil and death. Right there in his resurrection, chaos and death defeated. It's because of Jesus' death and resurrection that the powers of chaos and evil now no longer apply. Jesus faced the chaos of death head on, and he emerged victorious from the encounter. And friends, because Jesus has defeated death, he's able to promise us, as he says in John 11:25, everyone who believes in me, though he die, yet will he live. So all in all, according to the words of Jesus, the key to living securely and safely and successfully in this world, the key, in fact, to living eternally is believing in Jesus, being a follower of His, which means being committed to His teaching. Friends, it's only those who are committed to Jesus who truly get to benefit from His saving power. And that is why Jesus is the real superhero. Spider-Man, Superman, they're fakes in comparison to Jesus. They're just fiction. They can't save a fly. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, love or money. If people are peddling those things to you as the way of life, then they're all just fake too. They can't save us. They can't bring us true life and happiness. Only Jesus can. The only solution to pain and powerlessness and despair is the solution that God gives us. And friends, that solution is Jesus and following him. That isn't just my opinion. That's actually what Jesus taught when he was here in the world. Now, if Jesus is the real superhero, then the question remains, how can we get him to come and save us? Now, don't cry out to Superman or to Spider-Man or to Wonder Woman. They're not going to help you. If you want salvation, you've got to cry out to the real superhero. You've got to cry out to Jesus and tell him that you need his help. He'll definitely hear you and respond. And secondly, for us to benefit from the salvation that Jesus gives, we need to be committed to following him and putting his instructions into practice. We need to follow Jesus as closely as Robin followed Batman. And when the superhero comes to save you, you're not going to listen to his instructions? Doesn't make sense. As you follow Jesus, God promises that you will experience blessing and the wonders of life in all its fullness. And best of all, death and evil will never ever be able to defeat you. Because of Jesus, you will have been saved from chaos and death, the ultimate superhero, the only true superhero. Cry out to him and listen to his instructions.